Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Woodward Fail Music Speaks, the podcast where we fight depression with power music. I'm your handicapped host, James Cox. I have a great, great, great interview today. Are you ready for some petty? I hope you are, because these guys are in a tribute band, and that's completely different from a cover band. But let me tell you about it first. The Waiting is the name of the band, is one of America's most electrifying roadhouse rock and roll bands. And the name might suggest their specialty is celebrating the music of Tom Petty, of course, including songs from the Heartbreakers repertoire, Petty's solo work and song from his supergroup, the Traveling Wilburys. Since 2013, the band, The Waiting, has thrilled diehard Petty fans and new converts. The American West. So I have Chris Gillette. I hope I say that right, name right.
You sure did.
And
you
got Doc it. Wiley from The Waiting. Chris is the lead vocalist and guitarist, and Doc is the bassist of the band. So welcome, Doc, and welcome, Chris. How's it going, brothers?
Good, James. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for rescheduling, because I don't know what happened the other day, but I just couldn't get anything right that day, and I'm so glad we reconnected really fast, you know?
Well, we've all had days like that, for sure.
Yes, and I'm sure being traveling musicians like you are, because Doc says, Chris, you are always on the road. You know, you're doing this and that, and I'm sure you've gotten to reschedule stuff a lot too, in your past career. So yeah.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So I thank you for that. Of course. Yeah, like I said before, tribute bands are much different than cover bands. I would say. Would you say that too?
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, a cover band generally covers, a whole variety of artists.
Everybody, yeah.
Tribute band, and there's different kinds of tribute bands too, right? There's tribute bands that, they wear the wigs to look exact. They try and look exactly like the original artists. But a tribute band typically covers the music of one artist in particular. For us, obviously, that's Tom Petty. But we sure don't wear the wigs. We don't do that.
You don't do the cosplay.
Draw the line.
No cosplay here, right?
Just a motley crew of friends that really, kind of get after it and have a good time with the Petty heads.
Yeah.
Those people that love Tom Petty.
Yeah, Doc, you're kind of breaking up a little bit there, buddy.
Oh, I can hear him just fine. Yeah, I can hear him.
Oh, you can hear him fine?
You see, it's darn computers again, man. Who knows? Yeah,
but, I can hear you great.
Yeah, I can hear both of y'all agree, which is great. Yeah, so it's all good. It's all good. Perfect. So, Doc, we're going to start with you first, buddy. So I learned that you are a co-leader, co-founder, along with Rick Winking about this, the Winning Band. Is that 100% true, or...
The band's been around for going on 13 years. So and Rick, and also now we had a member come back, Levi Main. So we were the original co-founders of the band, and through the years we just kind of kept developing and stuff like that. And about 3.5-4 years ago, Chris came to us and, kind of up the level, like in a video game, up the level of the band. And, after that, we got signed to a national booking agency, Atomic Music Group out of Nashville in LA, and, started doing some more stuff and doing a PBS episode. And, we're looking to kind of put our net out even farther in 2025, trips down to the South and the East Coast and stuff like that, hopefully this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would say you got a great lead singer, because Chris, you do already sound like Tom Petty when you're singing. It's great. It's great. I love you. I love your voice.
Thank you. It's kind of it's not, I won't say it's an affectation, right? I mean, it's actually, in a lot of ways, I just sing similarly to Tom Petty in terms of his intonation. And I sing a lot from my cheeks, which is, if you try and emulate Tom Petty, it's kind of like you just sort of stick your tongue down and do this, kind of thing. And it actually comes across in the music. All right. It helps me because I sing from my nasal passages a lot, which also helps to hit some of the notes that I wouldn't otherwise be able to hit.
Right.
So, I've always been a huge fan of Tom Petty's. So I think when I was young, I developed my singing style basically to mimic him. So,
So, Doc, going back to you for just a minute, out of everybody you could have picked, whether it's Jimi Hendrix, Beatles, Tom Petty, or any of the newer kind of musicians, why did you want to, I guess, follow Tom Petty as a like a tribute band? What was so much about him that you just loved him and you wanted to spread his music, to the world?
I think that's a two-part answer. I think, first of all, I'm a songwriter guy. I love songwriters. And I think without a great song, I don't think you can do anything. You can have a great performance, but if it's not a great song. And I just think Tom Petty just kept kicking out great music and songs. And also I'm a Southern boy, so the fact that in the tradition of the South, you have those folks that just kind of take everything in. They take in country, they take in rock and roll, they take in gospel, they take in, because you might have to go to your nana's church, right? And stuff like that. And you might have to, and then, being a little sinful, you might be at the juke joint the night before and such. So all of that stuff, really intrigued me. And then he's this guy who leaves Gainesville, Florida, and goes to LA, and he's navigating it, and he's writing songs about that navigation, and being influenced by the Beatles, being influenced by all these amazing people of his time. And he just and he, the other thing is that he's a band guy. You'd really have to want to leave the Heartbreakers not to stay in the band, right? He's loyal to those bandmates, and I think that that was a really important thing. I think, and then the other part of why I'm, why I was always interested in playing Tom Petty and understanding that style of songwriting and rock and roll, being a rock and roll musician, is that years and years ago I used to work at South Beach Studio, which was a subsidiary of Island Records, and my boss, this really amazing guy, Joe Galdo, was friends with Will Lee from the David Letterman band. And this is in the late 90s. And we're in New York for the AES convention, which is like audio engineers and such. And all of a sudden, my boss goes to me, "Hey, you want to have dinner with Will Lee?" I go, "Absolutely." And so we went and had Thai food, and then we went and stopped by CBGB's, and his new apartment was literally across the street. And we stepped over a couple of homeless people because it was New York of that time, and went upstairs to his apartment. And during that great conversation, he sat around going, "I'm going to put together a Beatles band that is with the best New York musicians I can find, and we're just going to play the canon the best way we can." And I remember sitting on the couch going, "I would do that with Tom Petty." Right. And then years later, when I moved to Bozeman, Montana, there's a great music store here called Music Villa, and the owner is an amazing drummer. And I rolled up on him and I said, "Man, I'd really like to do a Tom Petty band. What do you think?" And he said, "Well, if you can find everybody else, I'll play drums." So
You're like, okay,
that's really how the band started. So.
nice. Well, I mean, it's an honor to just be with anybody who plays in the band for David Letterman. That's great.
So yeah, my boss, it was just to hang out with him and and get to know him and hang out. But just, for somebody like that who could literally play with anybody anytime because he's one of the best bass players in the world, for him to say, "I'm going to do a tribute project about the Beatles," I was like, it kind of gave me permission.
You do this Tom Petty thing, right? Which is great. Nice. So if I say Tom Petty to both of you right now, what's the first song do you think of when I say Tom Petty right now?
I think for me, it's American Girl just immediately pops into my head. It's such a classic, and one of the first Tom Petty songs that I fell in love with. You know, of course, now it's associated with all sorts of things. Like, what's that guy from Silence of
Oh,
the Lambs? Buffalo Bill or whatever. But yeah, no, I that's definitely the song that pops into my head first.
Yeah, I would say for me, it's two. The first time I heard Petty was Breakdown, and it was the and there was a TV show, Don Kirshner's Rock Concert, on television, and they played a pre-made video of Breakdown of Tom Petty, and I was like, "Who's that? What's going on here?" And then, but lately, but I kind of, you know, we're revamping the set, and you know, Chris, when he joined the band, he was like instantly saying, "We have to play this song, Change of Heart," and that was, you know, a couple years ago now, whatever. And I was like, "Yeah, we'll get to it." And now I'm like, "I love that song." So we've been working on it for the last couple of weeks, and I'm just like.
Finally.
It's an amazing song, and to me, it's like the quintessential Tom Petty song for me. You know, it puts everything on the table in the thing. I mean, in my opinion, the strength of the Heartbreakers and Tom Petty is not only the great songwriting, but the great arrangements. They just, what great arrangements they had. Just, you know, cutting out all the fat and just kind of getting to the point.
And leave out all the fluff, because we don't want fluff around here,
No.
Fluff is not welcome in Tom Petty, but it's great. Yeah, the first song I think of is Into the Great Wide Open, which is one of the like the cream of the crop songs out there, it stands out to me more than any other song, and there's a lot of songs, and I'm not sure if y'all follow him on Apple Music, but there is his song Last Dance with Mary Jane is he does it with Snoop Dogg. I don't know if you all know that. I just found it out today.
That I have never heard.
No,
And I'm immediately going to look it up.
but yeah, so according to Apple Music, it came out on December 12, 2024, which I guess they just incorporated his voice. Before you go in and hear it, what do you think about like past artists collaborating with living artists, to put it politely? Do you think that's a good thing, or are they just using Tom Petty to get to get more out there? You know what I'm saying?
I do, You want to just
I mean, I'll just tell you my take on it. I mean, I'm okay with it as long as it's respectful, you know. I mean, to the and not just to Mr. Petty himself, obviously, or his family, but also just to the mostly to the music. It's got to be true to the music, right? I mean, and to me, that means not taking it so far out of the genre that it's meant to be played in, that it loses, you know, its soul, right? To me, it's got to be played the way it was intended. I mean, I can see other people doing adding to it, you know, or doing their own interpretation of certain parts of it. But if it just becomes a completely different song, then that would be where I would draw the line on it. But I can certainly see Snoop Dogg wanting to do that
Well, to go furthermore, it says because I'm looking at this on Apple Music, it says Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Tom Petty, and Jelly Roll. Or I guess it's kind of like a
song.
rap, but I haven't listened to it yet, so I'm thoroughly going to listen to it later on today to see what's going on,
Yeah, I'm gonna have to take a listen.
But Doc, what are your thoughts? Do you think it's a good thing, or do you think it's like it's like okay,
I think that reinterpretation of great songs is great. Like, to me, even if it's not something that I would be interested in, you know, I think that, you know, I think every generation if they find a great song, should let other people hear it. You know what I mean? I think this shouldn't be, in my time, I got to work with Whitney Houston, and she on one of her last albums, and I asked her about doing a Dolly Parton song, and she just thought it was a great song when they brought it to her for the movie, The Bodyguard.
Yes, I will
And
always love you,
so,
right? Yeah.
yeah, so it's a Dolly Parton song, and her version is nothing like her, Dolly Parton's
No.
version, right? But they're both real, it's still Dolly's song, right? And it's a lovely invention of the song. And so, like Chris said, as long as you're being respectful to the artist's intent, you're not doing what they're doing to, a lot of the stuff that's going out into the public domain right now, like, Pooh Bear as a slasher film. You're not doing that. I'm okay with it. The next one they're doing is Popeye the Sailor Man as a
Oh, as a
hard.
killer? Oh, wow.
But it's just like, so if you're doing that, not so much. But if you're just doing it your way, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, they actually came out with the Grinch horror movie. I don't know if you heard of that one yet. But
The
I
Grinch.
The Grinch, yeah, he's. I don't. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm like, come on, man, stop taking children's stories and it's like weird, I don't know. So,
Although the Grinch is kind of scary, even the
right,
Jim Carrey one. So
right,
he's a little scary in that.
and he steals gifts. Well, that makes sense, but not Winnie the Pooh or whoever we Papa, because I never heard of that until now. Have you all ever seen Tom Petty live? Before his passing, or like, do you have any like great memories of seeing him? Like, if y'all did,
I have not. Doc has, though.
Doc has, okay.
I saw him 4 times. Once with Bob Dylan in the
Ooh.
late 80s in Chicago, and the other times down in Florida, Gainesville and Tampa, whatnot. And it was amazing. It was everything. The band is actually kind of based off of my experience of seeing him play with Bob Dylan.
That was my next question. It's like, did you take stuff that he did live and incorporate in your band now? Which I guess you just said yes.
Yeah, I think the thing is that early on, Rick Winking, who's the original guitar player and co-founder with us, he and I talked about it a lot. Was we chose early on not to do the arrangements like the album, but to start to research how do they play Breakdown 30 years later? How do they play American Girl 30 years later? And with YouTube and whatnot, you can see these various eras of them, and that's what we're influenced by. And so we approach it from, how they played the songs, decades later, and it's a lot more fun. And because and it kind of gives us a carte blanche to kind of spread out a bit, and bring our flavor to it a bit.
So researching how they play it later, did you take into effect like how they would play it as older than what they were 20 years ago, 40 years ago, or
I mean, and then whatever kind of tickled us, Chris came across a version of Learning to Fly that we incorporate, where he gets the crowd to sing along and stuff like that, and people love it. That's the other thing that I love about Tom Petty. Of all the bands I've played in and projects I worked on, literally, I'll get emails or people bumping into my voice is hoarse from singing along. And we encourage it.
Oh, of course. And everybody knows all the words to all the songs. And of course, we get some that are like real diehard Petty heads that are like in the front. And you can just hear them listening to make sure we hit that one note that they're waiting for.
Exactly,
You
yeah.
see him like kind of listening for that thing, which is, you know, and we do. I mean, that's the thing about about Tom Petty music. I mean, there are certain signatures that you've got to hit,
You
that you've
right.
got to do. Signature sounds in every song has its own little hook. And it's not just the main hook. There are little guitar parts that people just are waiting to hear, and they have to hear it, otherwise the song is ruined for them. So we try to be sensitive to that. But we also do try and incorporate ideas from different times. I mean, when we look at, well, like one other song that we did we did a basically an acoustic version of The Waiting, where it was just me for most of the song, and then the band kicks in at the end. That was a from a I don't know when that was. Doc, do you know when that was, when Tom Petty did it that way?
Yeah, it
But
was the late 90s.
we watched the
Okay.
video, and it
Yeah.
was fantastic. It just sends shivers down your
Right.
spine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, so we decided to do the song that way for a while, and then we've gone back to playing it the, you know, a
Yeah.
different way now. So, but yeah, we try and take pieces from every era
Everything.
of Tom Petty, and
Right.
what like Doc says, what tickles our fancy, we
Yeah.
incorporate,
Right.
you know.
Yeah. So Chris, I got a question about your voice and your song selections. You know, maybe Doc can delve in this too. Now, when you are selecting the songs for this for different tours, I imagine for you, Chris, it would be beneficial to sing with respect to your voice, because sometimes your voice is not fully correct, you know, on all cylinders, you know. So
Right.
would there be times when you just needed to pick songs that aren't very much more lively in the singing, or
Sure.
like how do you and Doc figure that out?
So there are some songs that I can't sing like until my voice has been warmed up for a while. Like Refugee is probably the highest song in our register, in our set list. As far as pitch wise, it's the highest, and it's hard to sing. So we have to put that down in the set list a little bit, so that I sing a few songs first. And some of the songs, like we sing American, we play American Girl fairly early on in the set, at least we have been. And that actually helps, because that's, you know, it's high, but it's not crazy high, and it helps warm up my voice. And then by the time we get to Refugee, I'm ready to roll. And then Refugee, I'll spit out a tonsil or something at the end of the song, you know. And then the rest of the set seems to be much easier to get through. Once I get through Refugee, I'm good.
Yeah, I think the set list too is, we after the holidays, we decided to kind of take a 6 to 7 week period where we could add a bunch of new songs to the set list. Now, we don't do sets. We play a show. We do a 2 hour show.
Well, yeah.
And so, we wanted to add a bunch of like our favorites, and then also just have every show, have the ability to kind of swap out songs and stuff like that. Or if someone yells out something repeatedly, we'll play it that maybe wasn't on the set list. But to me, but there's a kind of like a core 13 or 15 songs that we can't leave the building without playing.
They all want to do that, right?
So those stay, but we wanted to add some stuff that's from the newer period, Mojo and a couple other records that, that came on later that have great songs on it. And then, alternative takes off of Wildflowers and stuff like that. So we wanted to kind of add a little more stuff that keeps it interesting for the fans, but also keeps it interesting for us,
Awesome. I may have asked this before, and I'm sorry if I'm asking it in a weird manner this time, but how has the Waiting's approach to performing these Tom Petty songs and music evolved since your formation in 2013? Has it like drastically changed, or is it like the majority of the first initiative band formation that you know?
Oh, it's, I mean, from my standpoint, it's changed pretty radically. The
Okay.
ragtag that we started off with was well-meaning.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
but you know, it was, you know, a good bar band. And then, you know, a couple personnel changes through the years. You know, as you know, you get different members who want to focus on different stuff, and then the crowd has informed us on how in our growth,
Okay.
right? And so to me, that has been the thing. So to me, it's about enjoying, you know, hearing the fans tell us, like, there's the song Honeybee, and early on in the iteration of the band, people would always ask for Honeybee, and we would go, God, that's such a deep cut. No one will ever ask. And pretty much every era,
Right.
you know, and it wasn't until, you know, it wasn't until Chris that we really started playing it, you know. So, and then the other thing is that it really, you know, I, you know, I don't want him to get too swell headed, but Chris's being involved with the band really kind of elevated the, you know, the approach. Like, we needed to bring our A game for the fans, and because of Chris's you know, vocals, and you know, even though he downplays his guitar playing, his guitar playing. So,
Chris,
you
go on, buddy.
know, yeah, he's a
I can I play a guitar, let's put it that way.
You're right.
Yeah,
You play a guitar, right?
I play a
Yeah.
guitar.
So, but you know, to me, when you have someone who's kind of the tip of the spear, that then the whole band has to raise up to have a whole a cohesive package to share with everybody. So, and I think that's probably what you saw in the PBS, is just that's, you know, that was the approach. Like, everything, you know, if you can't, if you don't believe the lead singer when they're singing the song,
Right, yeah.
we should all go home.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Chris
Nobody goes, that was
Christmas.
an amazing show. The bass player was amazing.
Yeah,
Everybody else
exactly. Right, yeah.
was. Much to my chagrin.
Yeah.
So, Chris, why do you downplay your guitar skills?
Because I'm not that
Oh, come on, brother. You got it, you know. You're
I
not.
mean, I've been playing for a long time, and the line from, what is that? I can't remember what song is the Dire Straits song. He's strictly rhythm. He doesn't want to make it cry or sing. That's me. I'm strictly rhythm. I
Okay.
like, and that's good, because I mean, I'm not a, I'm not, I can, I can I play a lead? Yeah, I can play a lead. I just can't do it very well. But I think I'm a pretty good rhythm guitar player, mostly because I know when not to play, right? And know when to downplay my part, know when to focus on my singing versus, you know, playing too many notes. As you know, it's easy to play too many notes. And the thing about Tom Petty, we've struggled a little bit with certain instruments, mostly drums, I think, where
Right.
there were just too many notes. You know, it's like, okay, when in doubt, don't play that fill when it comes to Tom Petty music, right? It's the song needs to be the song, and it needs to have room to breathe without being overrun by little, you know, little parts that people want to throw in. And everybody who plays an instrument wants to do that, right? I mean, they want to add their own flair to it, and that's fine, as long as, you know, there's not it's not too much.
Right.
In my mind, the simpler the better for the Tom Petty music, that's for sure. And so that's coming back to your question as far as why I downplay my guitar playing. First of all, I usually play a 12 string. So like that guitar behind Doc, to the left of his head is a Rickenbacker
Rickenbacker,
12.
yep.
Yeah, that one. That's one of my favorites. It's a 360 WB. It's a 1982. And it just has that classic Tom Petty jangle. It's also got a neck that's really, really thin and 12 strings. So they're a challenge to play for sure. Yeah, I mean, since I'm playing so many strings, it's nice to be able to back just drop out and sing. And you can really, it just removing that 12 string adds to the dynamics so much. And then when it comes back in, it really just brings the song together.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that Chris brings to the table too is that as a producer and stuff like that, a lot of times lead singers will have what I call the coffee house guitar playing technique, where it's just a bunch of subdivisions all over the place and they're just stepping on everything and they just don't want any space. And Chris is, the crew that we have around us kind of understands it, but Chris was the first lead singer that I said, well, let that just simmer
Yeah.
or sizzle, and he was like, oh, we can do that. I was like, yeah, he just stuck to it.
Yeah, I mean that was one of the first things Doc did when I first tried out for the band. He's like, just let that simmer. I'm like, I don't know what the hell that means, but sure, okay.
Right. Let's go win. Yeah, right.
So let it simmer. Now we have like longer moments of simmering, which really adds to it. Mostly when we simmer, it's just Doc and drums. It's pretty much bass and drums during the simmer parts, which people love. People love it.
Yeah, all I care about is playing the pocket,
There you go.
I already did the whole kind of bassopotamus,
Bassopotamus.
stuff where, there was a time I could play Flight of the Bumblebee on the bass. No one paid me ever to play Flight of the Bumblebee on
No, you just learned it on your right.
the bass. They'd probably pay you not to.
But they will pay me to keep their wife or girlfriend dancing. So
See, that's magic right there, right? Yeah. Well, Chris, I will say that you have extremely great backup with Todd and Levi playing rhythm and lead guitar. And if you get a chance, can you ask Levi how did he grow his beard like that? Because I'm trying to grow mine now, but dude, that is a sick beard.
I think it's a trade secret. I don't
Yes,
think,
it is too. Where we
Yeah,
were
those
the funny thing is
talking.
he's the youngest one in the band,
Is he?
which is hard to believe because he's
Yeah.
got that beard and it's
He's
a
got a
lot of
great,
gray.
right, because I'm looking at it right
My
now.
wife was, what? He's the youngest? Yep, he's the youngest.
Nice. Okay, so I got a few more questions and then let y'all go. So beyond the faithful recreation of the Tom Petty songs, what unique elements creative elements and interpretations does The Waiting bring to your performance to set them apart from other tribute bands,
I'll tell you what I think. I think we just do it better. I mean,
Perfect answer.
I hate to throw down the gauntlet,
No,
but I mean, one of the things that I've always said about this band since I've been in it, and that is that the product that we sell is second to none. The music that we play is, first of all, I mean, the music itself obviously fantastic. There are other bands that play Tom Petty songs. I just don't think they do it as well as we do. And when we do add to the songs, it just fits. It works. It fits the Petty vibe. When we deviate from what he did, or we combine different times when he did different things in the same song, it just works. And I think the band is fantastic. I really do. I think it's a high quality band. I'd put, the band up against anybody. So it's not so much that we bring some like crazy super, creative element to it that nobody else has thought of. I just think that what we do is tasteful. I think when we bring it's respectful to the music, and it's just done well. So, I mean, not to make Doc's head swell too much, but he's just a fantastic bass player, and he gets it. He doesn't add too much garbage,
Too much
in
fluff,
there. He's not playing Flight of the Bumblebees in the middle of Doc.
Yeah, we pay him not to, right?
Yeah, we pay him not to. That makes it
There's an
snack
extra bump
in
in my paycheck. No,
no, but don't not today, not today, brother.
they hear me during the sound check. No.
We're not paying you for that, brother.
Yeah, I think I think the other thing is that we're all music nerds of the first order, you know. We all have not, two of the members have more than 40 guitars in their collection.
See, I wish I could do that, man. Because I got two over here. I'm falling behind.
Chris, when he joined the band, I don't think you didn't own a Rickenbacker when you joined
No,
the
I
band.
didn't own a Rickenbacker. Now I
And
have.
how many do you need
Indeed.
now?
Because we do see three behind you.
Yeah, no, I think I've probably got, as far as Rickenbackers, at least eight.
Eight?
At
Jeez.
least eight Rickenbackers.
Can I
Yeah.
come over and play all of them? All
Yeah. Come on
right.
by.
Nice. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
and then.
there are some that I don't play. Like there's the Tom Petty edition on the wall.
Okay.
There's
What
the
that?
signed
Yeah.
that Tom Petty Vox that or that Vox is signed by Tom Petty.
Oh yeah,
Over
that
here,
yeah.
there's another Rickenbacker signed by Tom Petty. So
Yeah,
I don't play those.
those were priceless to you know.
Those hang on the wall.
Yep,
Yeah.
forever. Yep,
And that's what
exactly.
I'm saying. Like, that's the other thing that we do pretty seriously, which is we don't try to emulate. We'll go get that instrument, you know what I mean, to make that sound.
Right.
You know what I mean? So on any given show, we might have anywhere from 12 to 20 guitars on stage. So I bring two or three basses to every show,
Yeah.
as far as a collector goes. I'm the one, in the band at the moment with the least amount of instruments, and I own a recording studio.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So, but I have, all the tools to kind of get those sounds and to be kind of conscious of those textures and those flavors. And I don't think you can get them without having those tools. I think we just don't bring it as a flex. I think we bring a lot of the guitars because they get the sounds that are needed to make Tom Petty music.
Nice.
Right.
So three more questions, and so I'll go new. Okay, so we're in Doc's room. It was like 14 years old, in Chris's room at 14 years old. We're looking around your rooms. What musical posters are on your wall?
Well, on my wall, they're all
They're all
the
Tom
waiting.
Petty,
They're all the
right?
waiting posters.
All
So like,
right, exactly.
Doc does great work with the graphics for our shows, and works with our. We have a publicist that gets stuff out to the world. But Doc is the one that actually puts all that together, and I've started just framing them all,
Yeah.
and because they're, I mean, it's art. There's no doubt about it.
There you go.
So that's what's on my wall as far as like musical influences. It's listen, I listen to Tom Petty radio all the time, and I hear all the stuff that I love there. Of course, a lot of Southern rock, Skinner in particular,
Skinner,
is always definitely, but everything from that to Little Feat and Bill Payne. And Bill Payne has actually sat in with the band a couple of times, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, all classic rock stuff that I've listened to since, I was a kid.
cool. Oh, how about you, Doc?
Well, I've got some Tom Petty stuff
Yeah.
around. I've got like a poster back there of a birthday party, and then I have the Sound City poster back there that I thought that was I used to teach until last year. I used to teach at the university music production. And that was part of the homework was to watch Sound City, and there's a big part of Tom Petty in there. Yeah. So to me, and then everything else to me, to be honest with you, is more about the instruments is the art in my room. To me, I have
That's the artwork too.
four or five guitars behind me. You can't
Right.
see. There's another six or seven basses over here, there's a drum set in the room and stuff like that, and then all the mixing stuff. So, the wall, and then just family pictures. I'm a second generation musician. My father was a jazz professor, And then so I have a picture of my dad now on the wall, and now and Victoria got me a picture of my dad and a picture of my grandbaby, Bozzy. And Bozzy, my son's into music production,
Oh,
and
nice.
he got him on stage just yelling numbers into a delay, and he looks like a rock star. So I got a picture of my
There.
grandbaby Bozzy screaming into the microphone, with four generations of people screaming into the microphone.
Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah, dude. That's what's up. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's to me the thing. It's about it. To me, it's just the love of music and what we can do when we make people happy. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's the time you leave everything outside the venue and just come and sing Tom Petty and have your favorite beverage and dance and sing and act a fool. That's what
Yeah.
I want. That's what I want to do. I don't.
Well, who cares about following rules, right? Following rules sucks, you know. But two more questions, but I have to ask Chris this because okay. So did I read this right, Chris? On your bio on the website, thewaitingmontana.com, so everybody go there, okay? But I think I read this right because I don't know if my eyes are playing tricks on me or whatever, but. And there it says that like Kurt Cobain lived down the street from you. Is that
Yeah,
it?
he did.
Really?
Yeah,
Wow.
I lived in Madison Park, Seattle, for many years, and Kurt Cobain's house was literally, just right down the hill from me.
Nice.
So
I guess.
I still remember when it happened and all the police
Yeah.
tape around it.
Well,
It was crazy.
Hey,
Terribly sad, but
so. I guess you and him were like childhood friends, or I mean, like did you know him really, really well?
no, I didn't
Oh,
know him very well. I met him a couple of times as we were passing out in the street kind of thing,
Hey, Kurt. Yeah.
and when I was in Seattle, I played in a band, and we used to play at the Crocodile quite a bit, and that's, a
Yeah.
lot of the grunge
That's
stuff was playing at the Croc, so I would see him in places like that
Nice.
until
Nice.
things got like really crazy big, and
Well, yeah, and then I mean
then all of a
Nirvana,
sudden you couldn't see him anymore.
no, Nirvana, and to this day Nirvana still has my heart and soul. You know, they're a great
Oh,
band
yeah.
still. You
Terrific
know,
band.
everybody raves about them still. You know,
Of
but
course.
okay. So, two more questions, and then we'll let you write off. Okay, so we're gonna do like a Mount Rushmore of four of your favorite artists. But I'll go ask you for three of your favorite artists because I know Tom Petty is the number one and both of yours. So, Mount Rushmore, who are your three main, favorite all-time bands?
Ooh,
Because
that's a tough
we
one.
already have one, then that's Tom Petty, but three,
Yeah,
yeah,
Tom
three
Petty
more.
would be up there. I
Yeah.
mean, I would say any one of the Beatles, but particularly Paul McCartney would
Okay.
be up there. I mean, I learned how to play guitar on a book of Lennon and McCartney songs just because I knew them all,
Right.
So, who else? I mean, Nirvana might actually be up there, although it is a very different.
Yeah, well,
Different sort of genre, and Pink Floyd would be up there.
Ooh, great pick.
Boy, that's four, but I could keep going.
Yeah. Oh, I know, yeah. I mean,
Oh,
maybe
AC/DC is still my favorite band of all time, period.
yes, sir.
Period.
I love that band to death too. Yeah, but yeah. Probably one of the greatest rock and roll acts of all time, really. You
Of
know,
all time, of
yeah.
all time.
Still,
There's something about
and they're still
those
touring.
songs. Yep, I actually saw them in San Francisco. It was the last tour, the Play Ball tour. And so I saw them and then Brian Johnson lost his voice, and I was supposed to
Yeah.
see them in Madison's Square Garden in New
Right.
York, and that was the first show that they canceled
Oh
after
no.
that. After that, oh no, he was going to go deaf. His doctor said that if he played one more show, he would be deaf. So he didn't. But
Right, right.
now they're touring again. So I don't know.
Yeah,
There's just got,
and they're coming to
better.
America, which, you know, because me and Doc were talking earlier, and I live in South Carolina where nobody comes. So
Oh, nobody
hopefully
comes to
they'll come
South
to like
Carolina?
North Carolina or somewhere I can go with, you know, Georgia or something, you know. I don't
Well,
know.
get us a gig there, and we'll come.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, I will. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, so Doc, what are your four, what are your three, since Tom Petty is like up there too with you?
Well, I would say Tom Petty, Elvis Costello.
Oh, yeah, good
I
pick.
would say, for me it's bands. So
We well,
Elvis Costello. I would say, the first two albums of Lynyrd Skynyrd really knocked me for a loop.
yeah, great picks.
And then I would say the David Lee Roth Van Halen era.
Okay, yeah, but that's fair, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and Nirvana would be there too, but they
Yeah.
would have to fight it out with Elvis Costello.
There,
So, but I would say, I mean, for me, Elvis Costello got me into the Pretenders and a bunch of other stuff. And that really kind of got me on my journey of songwriters, and then, nothing like those Skynyrd records. Sweet.
Right. Yeah, they're both
Wow.
killer. Yeah.
Nothing like them, like, and I love the story of these hillbillies stuck in this essentially a bunker in the swamp, sweating to death. 8 to 10 hours a day for, a couple years working on their songs.
There you go. There you go. I have to ask you this before I get to my last question. What did you think about the Van Hagar era? Did you not enjoy it as much as the Roth era, or was that just not in your
I just
in
thought it was
line?
something different.
Right.
And then it was also a period where Eddie Van Halen started playing more keyboards,
Yep.
and that didn't really interest me as much.
Right. Yeah.
I like Sammy Hagar a lot since Montrose. I like
Yeah.
Sammy Hagar, but and I like him, before he was in Van Halen, and I like him afterwards. He's a consummate rock and roller. I just thought that, without Dave, and I got to work with Dave doing a solo period,
Oh,
and
nice.
he was just one of my favorite bosses I've ever had in my entire life. And as much as he has the bad boy image and whatnot and difficult to work with and all that,
Yeah, you hit it a lot.
he was a
Yeah.
perfect gentleman and just one of the best bosses. Taught me a lot and was patient. It was
Nice.
nothing more fun than going for sushi with David Lee Roth.
I love sushi, man. I
Well,
love sushi. Yeah.
I don't
Same.
like
Yeah.
sushi,
Oh,
but I
well, I
would go
mean,
to sushi with David Lee Roth.
there you
So,
go. Right. Like, come on, man. Oh, okay. Sushi it is. Yeah. So, okay. So this is going to be my last question. And it's going to be probably the hardest question I asked for you today, if you don't mind. Now this podcast is called When Words Fail, Music Speaks, right? And that can be nothing from the truth. Is there a song, album, or artist that you can listen to, but you can't tell me, you, your mother, your dad, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? You can't tell anybody about it, you know? How it makes you feel deep inside.
I don't know that. I mean, I will say that there are two Tom Petty songs that I think are difficult for me to describe how they make me feel. But the first one's Echo, and that song just, I don't know, there's something about it just speaks to me. Same thing with Swingin', which is another Petty song that I just adore. Makes me feel things in a different way, but what, and that's part of the beauty of Tom Petty's music is that, the lyrics that he writes tell, they create it like a sound emotion almost. They're not necessarily a story that, everyone can follow and everybody interprets the same way. They just create this sort of lyrical sound picture that everybody relates to in a very different way. And that's what makes it so unique. And I think why everybody loves it is because they interpret those things, according to what's meaningful to them and how they've lived their lives and the experiences that they've had. So it's not like he's telling a story that he imposes on you, right? You impose it on yourself using that as sort of a roadmap or a guide. And yeah, and Echo's just one of those songs. And it's not a very popular Tom Petty song. A lot of people
That's
don't
all.
know.
Right, so
Ak.
for me, the Tom Petty would be Southern accent, because
That's good too.
my family, half my family is Southerners, so there's the it's something that I relate to pretty good. And I think and then kind of the same theme, weirdly enough, but it's a whole album, which is Dwight Yoakam, Hillbilly Deluxe. And that kind of fish out of water, you got this country boy in LA type of theme. That's kind of the theme of the record. And if my heart was broken, you'd probably come over to my house and there would be some Dwight Yoakam being played. Lost my dog and ate my truck down and
Truck
can't
right
pay my
over.
bills.
Well, that's sad stuff, right?
That's right. So, that's kind of my guilty pleasure, but also something that I find a little bit of soul food, and that whole record. And it's to me the important records in my life, I can't play them out of sequence. They have to be played in sequence.
Yeah, because that's the order that he wanted us to hear him. Yeah,
Right.
exactly. Well, I thank both of you gentlemen for coming on and happily rescheduling with me.
Of course.
For anybody listening, though, you can find him on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search on the Waiting Project on Facebook, The Waiting Bozeman on Instagram, and The Waiting Bozeman 348 on YouTube. And make sure you go to thewaitingmontana.com. They are on tour starting February 21st and ending the tour on July 31st. And it's between, I think it's Washington and Montana. Is that the two places y'all are going to?
Oregon, we're going to Oregon, right?
Okay.
We're going to Oregon. So in April, we're going on a little West Coast tour. So we're going to Washington State, playing Tacoma and a couple other places. And we're playing Portland for the first time. That'll be
Nice.
fun. But, we always joke around and say, have guitars, will travel. So
Yes, exactly.
if you come across our website, there's contact information to book us through our booking agent. And we'd be glad to bring the Petty to your town
Hell
anywhere in
yeah, dude.
the country.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna try to book you all sometime this year because I really want to meet you and sing some Petty with you, because I
Oh, that
love
would
him
be
dearly
awesome.
too, So that'd be awesome. That'd be great, guys. So thank you for coming on, and you're welcome to come back on anytime you want to, okay?
Oh, thanks,
All
James.
right, all right.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you,
Yeah,
sir.
thank you so much.
Thank you. And with that said, everybody, thank you for listening, and always remember, I can't, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you so much. That was great. That was amazing.
Awesome.
Y'all are so awesome to talk to. I really appreciate you coming on, for sure.
Well, I really appreciate you having us. We definitely enjoy doing that.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. Well,
Yeah,
I'm going
so.
to actually go to
All
rehearsal.
right, guys.
Yes, please.
He's not coming.
He's not gonna. He has to stay there. Yeah,
He's
so.
a few miles away, so but we're going to do what we call our workshop now. So
Okay,
we're going to
nice. Nice. Yeah.
But all right, nice to meet you, and
Good to meet you too.
we look
Yeah.
forward to hearing from you.
I will get. I'll send this to Melissa whenever this comes down, and she can send it to y'all, and y'all can spread it out if you want to or not.
We will.
It's okay.
That's
Perfect.
awesome.
All right. Okay, thank you, guys.
All
Appreciate
right.
it.
All right, thank you.
Bye
All right,
bye.
nice to see you.
Bye.
Take
Good
care.
to see you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.